That's our intro.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show with two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
This week we're watching old people kill other people and young people who want to get killed, apparently.
Potentially by the old people.
Jody?
Ross.
You like cocaine?
I like mine.
Oh, wait. Yo, it's been a while. This is supposed to be like a mild intro first.
Yeah.
Gee whiz. I haven't seen Jody in
Let's
yonks.
Segment it, Ross. Yeah. We'll do friendly banter.
Yeah. And then
news.
Yeah. Like we usually do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how are you?
I'm good. It has been a while. You know, the flow, it takes a while to get back.
It's been several. Also, yeah. I'm sleep deprived.
Well, why?
Because my wife is snoring.
Haven't you been taking your melanin? Why don't you give her the melanin? Knock her out.
Melanin. Yeah, that's just going to change the skin color.
Serotonin.
Melatonin.
Melatonin. I was there somewhere. I mean, maybe with darker skin, she would sleep nicer.
Yeah.
You know, just like,
yeah.
Just settles it down.
Also, I was with aging.
Yeah.
But it's allergies. I think you're right. I think it is. Sevali apolvite.
And she's been sleeping pleasantly. You can see that's the sleep of someone who's kept someone up all night. She's just got this.
They do have this, like, yeah, they're so content.
I only know because I am Abby in my relationship. I wake up sometimes and Jenna's just staring at me.
Yeah. So look, if this episode goes off the rails, then
blame it on Abby.
It's her fault. On that note, let's get into the news.
Our wear, news and shorts.
Okay, Jody, okay. You like cocaine? No. So, Michael Caine, he's got a film coming up called The Great Escaper, and he said it may be his last because he's like, I sort of am retired now.
Yeah, sort of.
You fucking bastard.
Yeah.
Also, Michael Caine is terrible.
Not bad. Also, apparently, the person that starred opposite him in the movie was 87, and that person died. So,
oh my
maybe
God.
He's at.
Wait, how old is he now?
90.
Jesus. Wow. You probably met Jesus.
Yeah. He was there. He told Moses, say, you see, when you part in your water, this is what we want.
When you part in your water.
Your water.
But he expanded. He said, like, he can't walk properly and shit.
Yeah. And I think it's, at 90, it must be a little hard to motivate yourself, right? To, like, hop out of bed and go do a full day's.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Christopher Nolan's going to call him again and he's going to be, all right.
Was he in Oppenheimer?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he was maybe doing this stuck or.
Probably.
Or struggling to walk or something.
Yeah. He says he has got a very good walking stick.
Shame, but he's a legend. It's going to be cuck not to see him, but 90 years old.
I know, but have you seen the other bit of Michael Caine news that came out this
Oh,
week?
Fuck. Did he sexually assault someone?
No, but he did comment on, because they've got the coordinators on set now, the people who got the intimacy coordinators. He's like, in my day, we didn't need intimacy coordinators. And everything was fine.
Wow.
I was like, Maiko.
Yeah. Look,
maybe it wasn't. You just didn't know.
People don't understand the importance of an intimacy coordinator.
Because he's like, what do they do?
The point is to make everyone comfortable so you get the best performances.
Yes.
And
those
difficult.
Things are so unregulated in
it's
the past.
It's difficult to take your clothes off in front of other people, and whether you're an actress or not.
Or actor. And then you had directors who were just like, we need you to be completely nude for the scene where actually the person could have had like on spandex or whatever. And it's just so they could get their jollies. So, intimacy coordinators are here to make sure that the proper processes are followed.
Because they're the ones who can call out the director and say, no, this is... I mean, they revise the script. They see the context of the scene. They see everything.
Yeah.
So, they
Might
cuck
be a good
important.
Time to retire.
Yeah. Of his time, that man.
Yeah.
You know, Warner Brothers, we always get like this casting shit that they wanted this person and they wanted this person. But mm-hmm. apparently Warner Brothers at one stage wanted Leonardo DiCaprio to play the Riddler in The Dark Knight Rises.
And I remember when Dark Knight Rises was announced, because there was some uncertainty as to whether Nolan would come back after The Dark Knight. He was kind of on the fence, right? Then the movie gets announced and the who's the villain going to be stuff started coming out.
Yeah.
And Leonardo DiCaprio's name was flying around like crazy back then.
But he is a villain, isn't he?
Yeah.
If you're 25.
If you're under 25.
No, well, 25 is the cutoff, man.
He's a thrilling villain.
No, is he still with that 27-year-old?
I doubt it.
Gross.
You paged.
27. But no. Yeah, I don't think he'll ever do a comic book movie.
No, not at this point. I mean,
no, he's got like that prestige on him now.
And he's good friends with Marty. And you know, Marty doesn't like that. Sure. Marty's got allergies too.
Did you take a tablet today? Cetal Seed?
She's like, I'm going to keep you up during your nap as well.
I can't nap even. Nah, but look, this is all speculation and shit. I mean, not speculation. It's just like, it's dreams and fairy dust.
But the thing is, David S. Goyer did the script for
I have a...
love-hate relationship.
Yes. He's done some great stuff and then it's like, ugh, what?
What was that? The Johnny Depp film? Or the AI?
Yeah. It was Transcendence. Yeah. But even this movie, The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. Not as strong an ending as what we would have liked.
Blade 3. Which Abby loves, eh?
Is Blade 3 your favorite Blade?
Yo. 1 and 3. She loves...
3 should not be anywhere on that
list. Ryan... She loves Ryan Reynolds.
Triple
and
H.
She loves... No, Parker Posey.
Okay, Parker Posey's having the best time in that movie.
Anything she's in, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
She loves Parker Posey. You need to
Parker
take a
Posey
down
was...
Shout out to
Bo is Afraid.
Yeah. If you know what scene we're talking about, that was pretty fucked up. Anywho.
So Goya's going around doing shit and he's actually now confirmed that this was legit. The studio told him, and tell Chris that Leo's playing Riddler. And then they were like, nah, it's not how we do shit here. So Nolan was able to push back against it quite heavily. But the studio was, like, they were insisting on it.
Wow. Anyway, we'll never know. As per usual. John fucking Woo, man.
Woo.
Like, John Woo, like you said. If you grew up on, like, action films and stuff, you must have seen a John Woo film.
Yeah, if you haven't, it's a little sad.
What was Hard Boiled with, what's that guy's name? He was in Crouching Tiger.
Also, what's his name?
Jodie Comer, this is your job.
I know.
Your job is for your brain to be at peak active performance.
My brain is somewhat drug-addled. What is that guy's name?
Fong Sai-yuk. No, that's a movie. The Legend of Fong Sai-yuk with Jet Li. I'm going to get Limu Bai. No, that was his movie in Crouching Tiger.
Chow Yun-fat.
Chow Yun-fat, bitch. I mean, Chow Yun-fat, not Chow Yun-fat, bitch.
That's not his son.
Anyway, he was the pioneer of gunplay in Hong Kong action films.
And the amount of films that actually stole from John Woo's style.
Yeah.
And like no credit whatsoever, just like we're going to be incorporating this shit. So much of the 90s action stuff.
Godfather of slow motion.
Yes. Mission Impossible 2.
Also the use of doves.
just let them fly.
But it's been 20 years since he released a film in the US, a US film, basically. Because Mission Impossible came out 20 years ago. His last one?
It wasn't Mission Impossible. I'll tell you now what it was. It wasn't actually something quite. Paycheck. Ben Affleck and Aaron Eckhart.
Wow.
That was his last American film.
Yo.
The thing is, he had a love-hate relationship with American theaters. So we had Broken Arrow, which was like...
I didn't hate that film. I don't know if I rewatch it if I'll enjoy it.
And
I know John Travolta was unhinged.
Yeah. Christian Slater was on the poster. But then we had like Mission Impossible 2, which was probably in hindsight now regarded as the weakest one out of the MI films. You know, he has his unique way of filming that doesn't always transcend.
Yeah. I don't think that was the right franchise for him. Mm. But this new movie is called Silent Night.
Very, very interesting premise.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Joel Kinnaman is the lead actor in this film.
Oh, Robocop.
Yeah. And apparently... And
what was that other murder series that he was in? The Killing.
He was also in that Netflix series, wasn't he?
I don't care. Have you ever watched The Killing?
No, I haven't.
You should.
Good stuff.
It's good stuff.
I know, watch it because I don't remember.
But this is kind of like a 90s action movie plot, because this guy, Joel Kinnaman, plays a father who witnesses his young son being killed in gang crossfire.
Ooh.
And then he loses his voice, his vocal cords and stuff get damaged in there. Mm. So the whole movie is shot without dialogue.
Wow.
And then the whole thing is about him going, getting like the ability to avenge his lighty.
Yo, that sounds jazz, actually.
Yeah.
But recently, there was also a movie that was released that has, like, no dialogue. It's an alien horror film.
Oh, I heard about that.
But, like, it was fresh, and then the more people saw it, and then I saw, okay, people it's are going. Like, it's not, yeah. But I'll check it out. I like.
Did we talk about the Rotten Tomatoes thing?
You're talking oh, fuck, about fresh. No. You didn't put it in, but no, I mean.
Natural segue.
Yeah. The scandal. The
fucking tomatoes.
Yeah. If you were suspicious, this is your time to be proven.
Yeah. Like people are now like, you so, see, I bloody told
so you. So give us some context there.
So it came out recently that a big publishing firm in the US has actually been paying people off, like critics, to either not release, if you had a negative review, to not release it.
Yeah.
Or to give a positive slant. Because as we know, the tomato meter is basically... I like it or I don't. Quite nice.
Yeah. And an average of that.
Yes. So, and then they aggregate that as like enough people said it's this. So this is a 76% fresh.
Yeah.
Or people don't like it. So it's a rotten film. The whole point of reviewing and something that I think you and I stand by is that you have to have integrity.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, you don't like it.
If you don't like it, you don't like
it.
If
you like it, you like it. And people use Rotten Tomatoes as a barometer of whether something is worth going to see.
Yeah.
So when you now hear that people, which, I mean, the suspicion's been there that this happens, but to see it confirmed that people were being paid off, it's like, what the hell?
You know, it's the saddest thing. This whole scandal was discovered on a Daisy Ridley movie.
I know. Like, like a nothing film. Like a film that just...
And I really want her to come back.
Yeah, she's just always involved. Yeah. I mean, look, the next Star Wars
is her story, but still, I mean, they fucked it up for her, honestly.
I know, and I don't know how these people decided which movies they're going to push like this also. And now Rotten Tomatoes came out and said that, because all of those movies that were impacted by this publishing firm have been removed from their website. But how are you going to ensure that stuff like this doesn't happen in the future? Because a thing like this has got so much sway.
Yeah.
And other film critics are not actually big fans of Rotten Tomatoes. No, they don't, because of how it works.
Yeah, and a lot of the time, I mean, people are not making their decisions on other people's opinions. They're basically just saying, oh, it's like a Julius Caesar way of, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yes, literally.
It's weird and... That's why we recommend...
It's super binary. Yeah, it's literally
just find a critic that you like Jody and myself, and just go with our opinion.
Yes.
Don't look at Rotten Tomatoes and say, oh, I'm not going to watch you, I'm not going to watch you.
Yeah, movies at 50%.
Because a lot of the time, we have found that we really like movies that critics pan. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Or not even pan.
Or vice versa.
Like in Rotten Tomatoes case, they were just like, I didn't really care for this.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're saying it's a cuck movie, but that pushes it out.
Yeah, and vice versa as well. I mean, there's ones that the public really doesn't like, but, you know, we like. Like, it's whatever. Fucking exactly. Whatever. Just fucking make your own opinion up.
Exactly.
Sec. It's time for a review.
The first movie we are reviewing this week is Expendables. Actually, Expendables 4.
Yeah.
This one's directed by Scott Waugh. Armed with every weapon they can get their hands on, the Expendables are the world's last line of defense and the team that gets called when all other options are off the table. That's a Google description of this movie.
Wow, why didn't you use IMDb?
Does that sound like like anything?
No, it sounds like nothing.
It's also on IMDb.
Wow. Wow, wow, wee, wow.
Okay, this movie has Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, 50 Cent, Megan Fox, Dolph Lundgren, Tony Jaa, Iko Uwais, Andy Garcia, Randy Couture. Yeah, I think that's it.
Wow.
I don't care for Antonio Banderas' son.
Lil Banderas.
Lil Band.
Los Banderas.
It's been a while since Expendables did anything. Eh?
It's been a while. Yeah, well, that's kind of the thing, isn't it? Because they're old as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this franchise, it's been a strange one. When I remember when in the first one was coming out, I was like super excited because, yes. I mean, it's your action heroes of the 80s and 90s.
All of them coming together.
Coming together in one film. Yeah. I mean, that's literally like a wet dream for...
That's such a good idea.
A sus hit male. So, yeah, but then the movie came out and it was like, oh...
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Some cool ideas, whatever. Dolph Lundgren is old as shit, is what I realized. Yo.
Closed captions needed.
Yeah. He's a doctor. Eh? He's got his doctorate in...
mechanical or something engineering.
No, I think it's chemical.
Chemical engineering. Yeah. He's a genius.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. Then the second one came out.
Better than the first.
Better than the first.
Jean-Claude Van Damme as the villain.
Listen.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah.
That was really good. That and he kind of stole the show every time he was on screen.
Yeah. No, it was a brilliant idea.
So good.
The first one also had like Stone Cold was in it as well. There was a couple of wrestling guys in there too. They embraced the violence.
Yes.
Which I think was quite important for the franchise with that first, the first
which,
couple
which
of kind movies. Of
fits, right? With the ridiculousness of like 80s and 90s action films to bring it into the 21st century. Mm. To be like
to bring
it. Yeah. No, to be like it's hyper violent, it's comical at times. Like you know, it makes sense.
And then we had part three.
That was a mistake. So they tried to obviously
PG-13.
Yeah, they wanted to reach more people. Children for some reason.
They didn't reach anyone.
No. When you make it PG-13, it just takes a big chunk of what makes the movie kind of cool away.
And we started losing like key cast members as well.
Yeah.
So people like, I don't think Terry Crews was in part three.
I don't
Jet Li was definitely not in part three.
No.
We had Wesley Snipes join the team, which was fun. Like, I like that idea.
Yeah, that
and
was
Antonio
fun.
Banderas. But they bring them in like the most watered down version.
Yeah.
And they brought all the young people. So it was like Ronda Rousey. What's his name? The boxer. Victor Ortiz.
Victor Ortiz.
Like they brought a lot of new people in.
Manny Mayweather.
Yeah, no. He wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
No, he's the one who knocked Ortiz out when Ortiz didn't put his hands. So, yeah, the franchise, it went way down with part three, right? To the point where I think everyone thought like,
So the fourth installment was supposed to be a sort of recalibration, right? Mm. So we knew it was R-rated when we went in. And then it happened. The plot isn't even a thing.
No. Neither is the dialogue. Which I think going in, to be honest, if you are going to an Expendables movie, high hopes for a plot, then maybe that's on you, eh?
Maybe that's on you, Ricky Bobby. It turns out the true villain is the script, I think.
The script that we had all along.
Yeah. The script that we made along the way. It seems like there's plot points and characters are assigned roles or whatever. And then they wanted a tete-a-tete and they got like a rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of space for improvisation.
Too much.
But the improvisation that does happen, and you can tell it's improvisation.
Completely.
Is not good enough.
No. I wanted to go see the development of this movie. Do you know how long?
It was hell, apparently.
Part 3 came out in 2014. In November 2014, it was announced that they're going to make the last one because Part 3 bombed and was just like a nightmare. And then in 2016, Sylvester Stallone announces that the fourth installment will be the final film in the franchise as well. And they're going to embrace their R rating again, going back to their roots. They were shaking off their boots, Russ. And COVID happened, you know, there's excuses for what went on, but there's a lot of development that went into something.
So you said Sylvester Stallone said that this is the last installment?
Yeah.
Okay. My first piece of trivia is He confirmed this is the first of a new trilogy.
Vin Diesel, baby. When in doubt, announce a trilogy.
Fuck, man. I feel like because he doesn't have Rocky, he's trying to get something for himself again.
Yeah.
And this is not it, though.
No.
It has potential.
It has. And I think, I don't know if this is one of your fun facts, but there was going to be a spin-off. And this spin-off
was supposed to be a spin-off.
Exactly.
It was actually supposed to be a spin-off for Jason Statham.
A Christmas Story.
A Christmas Story.
In it.
What? Fine. But then don't call it Expend for Bless and then fucking push Jason Statham.
Just shout out to the marketing for this movie. We were at the screening and they were doing Expend for Bless and they had barbers there.
They were haircuts.
Legends Barbershop. Legends Barbershop.
Someone
didn't
watch our stories.
Why are you so surprised?
Wow.
Good God. She's a producer.
Yeah, you could get a haircut. You could get blessed literally and then go watch Expend for Bless.
I know. So great idea. I have no idea if they were emphasizing.
Plot doesn't matter.
No.
Let's talk about performances. I really enjoyed Iko Uwais.
Yeah. I still sadly think that people don't really know who he is.
No.
Because you and I love The Raid.
We love The Raid.
We love The Raid too. That was our introduction to Iko Uwais. He hasn't really transitioned into mainstream success. He was in that Mile 22 with Mark Wahlberg.
He only did the Raid punches once.
And that's just that stuff that he did. You could see the speed of Jason Statham didn't even react yet. Okay, we must get into that.
Anyway. So you're right. The people don't really know him. And they don't really appreciate what he can do. No. I honestly think he has the potential to be the Jet Li of this generation.
I think so. But the issue for him is that, like, with the language side of it, right?
That is not a factor anymore based on this.
Based on this, we see he can actually speak English. He can actually emote now in terms of his
character. He can speak American. You're in America.
Did you watch Mile 22?
No, I didn't.
The Mark Wahlberg film. So he, in there, he's like, spoiler, he's like a triple agent. Mark Wahlberg has got the most Mark. Yeah, he's apparently, whatever. He's got the most Mark Wahlberg version of like ADHD
Okay.
In any case, he's Mark Wahlberg's a super agent. Iko Uwais is like this triple agent guy who goes back and forth.
Yeah.
And he actually showcases his range in there a lot better.
Okay.
I'd say go check it out just
for you. Okay, cool.
Fighting also.
He really like blew me away. I think he was so good. He was so charismatic as a villain in this movie that was lacking charisma. Yeah,
just everywhere.
That was the best part for me.
Asian man the villain.
Yes. But
well,
they also
we'll get into it.
They also put the Asian man in a hero role. So.
Yeah, Tony Jaa, who I also actually
He's an all-star.
Enjoyed.
He's like an all-star.
They didn't give him enough to do.
I didn't recognize him at first because he's got veneers now.
Yeah. He's like, he's a guy in Thailand with a random bow.
The teeth are on point, bro. And then I was like, yo, this bro looks familiar. And then Jody's like, oh, Tony Jaa. And I'm like, what? Anyway.
So I liked him as well.
Yeah.
I just think they didn't give him enough. But he was also like another high point for me.
They also tried to learn, I guess, it's a lot of characters in one film,
right? It is. Because we've got some of the returning older people, right?
Yeah.
We've got Dolph Lundgren.
Older people.
The boomers. Dolph Lundgren, Randy Couture, Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham. I think that's the old group. Then you've got Megan Fox, Antonio Banderas as Lighty.
Yeah. Lil Banderas.
50 Cent. He's part of the younger crew, new crew.
Sure, he should be in the old.
He's kind of in the middle, though.
True, I guess. But
yeah,
he's part of the
comes
new,
as a new crew, but he's not like a youngin.
Yeah, but there's not enough. But there's not enough of like what made the first one like expendable. Like different guys have different things that is like their thing, right?
This is what I wanted to get into, right? Is you have the potential to do the 90s crazy thing where this person is really good at one thing.
Like Bond villain style.
You know? Because I mean, Barney, who is Sylvester Stallone, he's got the gunslinger thing.
He didn't have that gun.
He didn't do it.
Yeah. Like maybe once he used
his gun. He didn't go kaka like he does. And then Jason Statham is the karate kick man.
Yeah. And knives.
Yeah.
Remember, him and Barney had the whole thing of what's quicker.
Yeah.
A bullet or a knife.
A fucking match made in heaven. Karate and knives.
Yeah.
And then you had the potential to give each person another thing, but they didn't. Like 50 Cent. He could have been the drive-by specialist.
I told you, I want to...
I like in Fast and Furious that like touches stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one's going to be 50 Cent.
I want the 50 to be the guy that gets shot and doesn't die.
Yeah, nine
and
times.
And then he just keeps counting and then he gets like, I got shot nine times. So he gets shot the ninth time.
Exactly. Or be like, you know, he only uses like 9 mils.
Yeah.
With like extended clips.
Some and he's shit just like, cut, 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 cut.
Then you, I mean, Antonio Banderas is like, he also didn't really have a thing.
He
had the
mask
of
Zara?
No.
No, but, he actually looked more like Kung Lao.
Okay, but created. They did get him to have the mannerisms of Antonio Banderas and the
It's his
look.
Actual son.
Like, is it his lighty?
Oh, I said I'm going to Google it.
I'm going to I doubt. I don't think it's his lighty. No, his name is Jacob Scipio.
Damn it!
Uncanny.
He looks... Fuck, he looks
he
so
was
similar.
He was the villain in Bad Boys for Life.
I did not recognize him from that.
No, not at all.
But like, yo, if they ever have to do like a Antonio Banderas life story, they can use him.
He is uncannily good at looking like Antonio Banderas.
No, but acting like him as well.
That's
crazy.
I'm saying. The
whole situation. Who else is in there? Randy Couture is like, fine. They got this running joke with the cauliflower ears.
But
then it doesn't pay off.
But he was like the wrestler in the, like, you know, in the head, Stone Cold Steve Austin, there's like this guy that's beating up everyone. Then him and Randy had the big hype to their fight.
Yeah.
Because Randy was the MMA champ.
Yeah.
But then there's none of that now.
Nothing.
Like none.
No. There's no like... There's no payoff for things, I think, in general, that's like set up. Then you have Megan Fox.
She's the leader.
What the fuck?
The leader?
Of the young people.
Yeah. The problem also is the way they used her. It's almost like they knew that boomers were watching this film.
Yeah.
And she was like overly sexualized. Yeah.
I mean, the introduction is her as Jason Statham's girlfriend again.
Yeah, but she's also an expendable.
Yeah, she's already been an expendable, but she.
Nails or so.
No, her nails are on point.
I mean, everything is like you said, it's made for boomers to perp. So she is literally like immaculate and makeup is
like
on
they go
point.
For a tactical mission, right? They fucking on a ship or whatever. Her hair is loose. You know how I feel about this. Her hair is loose.
Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like,
she's in full makeup. Her nails are done. Her hair is loose. And she's got like a midriff top situation. And
you gotta be a baddie.
No,
but there's
sorry.
Nothing tactical about it. Like,
they position her character to be a capable killing machine, right? And then she's just there for eye candy. You can tell when they're doing both, but they're not doing both because she doesn't do anything.
At least not in a way that is like reflective of we want her to be capable and action, like she can do the action scenes. Because even the way they cut her fights, you can see it's not her.
Yeah, you can.
It literally is like
a
face hidden, face hidden, face hidden, and then she's the one in the last position.
Yeah.
Like, they made it so obvious and completely, I feel like they discredited her.
Actually. 100%. I don't think they should have had anyone else. I think, cool, Megan Fox, you know, the boomers love her.
Mm.
But then do something proper with her.
They could have tied it into, was she in Jennifer's body? That auto
yes,
film?
Yes.
They could have tied it into something like that, maybe even, where it's like a not in a wink to her previous stuff.
It's like she can. She didn't even like use her beauty to her advantage.
Just nothing.
Yeah. Fuck, waste.
But anyway. I think that was a recurring theme. Like, even when we were coming out, you're like, there's so much wasted opportunity.
There's so much wasted opportunity with the dialogue, with the characterizations, even with the action.
Mm.
I think you got Jason Statham, who could actually do things.
Mm.
And the way that the action was cut, it was like nothing was shot wide.
Yeah.
It was all super close and quick cuts and whatever. You got Iko Uwais. You got fucking Tony Jaa.
Yeah.
The action was like, okay, cool, action. There was one time where I went like, yo, but I think they shot the guy's head off or something.
Yeah, it was some shit like that.
Yeah, No, but now you got Iko Uwais and Tony Jaa. They can give you moments.
But the weapons they give Iko Uwais' character is just so stupid. Like, he's got these axe pattern things.
No, but he used it in the raid also.
No, but these things are cumbersome. Like you could, I felt like they deliberately gave him those weapons to slow him down. Because the way he uses it was like, there's a stake on one side that is like, I'm stabbing you in the heart with this thing.
Like a vampire killer.
Yes, but that thing, that stake is like
it's huge. It's
it's massive.
But like they could have been an axe fight. Because he had an axe. I thought he was going to use the axe.
I told you when they showed the weapons, because he had it tucked into his pants in a way that now makes no sense, actually. I thought it was like the mini scimitar things, actually. And it was like a callback to the raid. And I thought, yo, if he's going to take that shit out and fight with Jason Statham, who has his knives, go for it.
That's the vibe.
It wasn't the vibe.
Wasn't the vibe.
No. This was
Vibecrete.
And they didn't get over it. Not at all.
It was Vibecrete. Yeah, so is it a choir knife for you?
What happened to our new system?
Oh, no, you didn't confirm.
I did.
Oh.
So it's a small, I will still say, I had a good time actually, just watching it. And I think maybe it's because we haven't seen each other for so long.
Yeah. But I will say the same thing. Like, I had fun.
As much as we are complaining now.
I had fun.
I actually had fun. Oh, so it is a small podcrif for me, because the new system is a podcrif or...
A podcast.
That's a small podcrif. Like, I think that there is actually potential with how they did it. And there was sincerity, man. There is some spoiler stuff we're going to talk about now.
Yeah.
But I felt like there was actually sincerity. I know. 3 minutes.
Yeah, there was sincerity, and you could tell that they did care. I just think that it wasn't good enough.
Misguided.
But I will say it's a podcrif, a small podcrif, but it's just legs.
Yeah, overcooked.
Overcooked legs, podcrif, small.
Yeah.
That's it.
No tails.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Barney dies, and then he comes back.
Andy Garcia. We didn't even mention him.
Fucking Andy Garcia's the bad guy, which was so obvious from so early.
Yeah. Do you know originally they wanted Jack Nicholson?
Also, Kiki, Andy Garcia, renowned for his action films.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson, more renowned for his action films.
100%. You know? 100%. So, when you think of Jack Nicholson, you think of action
movies.
Yeah. Same with Andy Garcia. But he was having it up. I think he was having fun.
Yeah. I think like he was channeling Kurt Russell's Mr. Nobody. Yeah. You know, like very much trying to give off that energy in this.
That toothpick thing was just set up so they could
have a reveal.
Yes.
So the reason, Abby, that Megan Fox, we mentioned her as a leader, is because Sylvester Stallone's character is actually killed off early, and then he's not in the movie for like the majority.
Like the whole movie. He's in the beginning, and then he's not there, and then he comes back in the end.
To save the day.
Yeah.
So Megan Fox is then, she becomes the leader of the Expendables.
Like his daughter or something.
No. She's just Jason Statham.
She's just really capable.
They have a tumultuous relationship. Yeah. But again, the decisions the team make, tactically, just they are terrible.
They get caught all before the time. Shooting any bullets. Any bullets. They don't even shoot one single shot.
They are good. They are the worst fucking team ever.
Ever. And then they manage to escape, but they also do nothing with that as well. So again, there is something here. Like, I feel like there's something here that could be worked with.
Yeah, but
But embrace that absurd side of it.
Do something with it. I don't know if this movie's going to get a sequel.
It's not doing well at the box office.
But if they do, you have to go ridiculous with it. You got to mess with the characters. You take these people that you use. Even Dolph Lundgren, he was underutilized. I did like the thing of like, oh, he needs alcohol to shoot straight.
Oh, yeah, it's like, just be an alcoholic, bro.
Yeah, I mean, he tries to quit drinking.
Yeah.
But then he realizes that he shoots must when he's sober.
Yeah, constantly. Like, he's literally the reason that all the missions go wrong, because he doesn't kill the guy with a clean shot.
Yeah, shit. Maybe Manuel Lebok must start drinking.
Yeah, maybe.
Too soon. Shots fired.
Yo.
Almost. So one thing that I found interesting, in 2021, Cynthia Rothrock was seen filming in Germany, and people speculated she was going to be in this film.
2021?
But, yeah. So now I'm wondering, what the fuck was Cynthia Rothrock filming?
Weren't they going to do an Expendables?
That was another spin-off, but that also got like put to the side. I think for the performance of 3, all those ideas were like dangas. Yeah. Look, Sylvester Stallone's trying to build a universe, and it's
a complex universe.
You can't build on a foundation as brittle as this one.
Or old.
Anyway. Look, watch it or don't. I don't know.
Really, I still had fun. As much as we are bad mouthing.
The only reason we are podcrafting it is because of our experience in the cinema. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
If I was watching this at home, it would be a different experience. Yeah, I don't think experience.
It's going to be like me watching Fast X at home. Yes.
in the sobering light of day.
A second movie for today is a horror movie, Ross. Your favorites. This movie is the Australian film Talk to Me. This is directed by
Talk to Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shrimp on the Barbie. Yeah. This is directed by the Philippou twins, Michael and Danny. When a group of friends discover how to conjure spirits with an embalmed hand, they become hooked on the new thrill and high stakes party game until one of them goes too far and unleashes terrifying supernatural forces.
Nice.
This film has got a pretty unknown cast, except for like the mother. She was, I think, the only person that I knew. So this has got Ari McCarthy, Hamish Phillips, Kit Ehart, Bruce, Sarah Brokenshaw, Jaden Davison, Sunny Johnson, Sophie Wilde, Marcus Johnson, Kidan Zelika, James Oliver. Where's that mother? Oh, Miranda Otto. She's the mother.
Yes, she's been in things. Yeah.
Zoe Tarakis, Alexandra Jensen, Joe Bird.
I know none of them.
No.
Cool. Horror movies, not a vibe for me. I don't understand why someone would want to feel anxious as a form of entertainment.
And if there's any movie that's going to make you feel anxious, this one's pretty high on the list.
Let's talk about, the plot is pretty straightforward. They have this thing does this thing, and things ensue.
And I love that they didn't try to over-explain any of that shit.
They're like, there's no... You know, like there's that trope in horror movies where they're like, oh, this fucking evil thing is here. We need to find... Go to a library and find research about this thing and find out...
And like, then we have to do 10 how prequels to
how to defeat it.
Yeah.
There's none of that here. It's really contained to the specific story.
Which, storyline-wise, might impact on some of the more frustrating character choices, if you think
about it. So I watched this with Sammy next to me, and he
another renowned horror fan.
Yeah, but you don't count because you were like chilled.
You keep him up all night. So
no, you were chilled. I'm talking in context. Like Sammy's next to me, and he's having these reactions to things, and both of us are just like, oh, why? And every time I just hear Sammy go, oh, dog. Whenever like a decision is made where they have to use the hand again, then he's like, oh. So that was like cack funny. But yeah, so in the context of like horror movies, the way these things happen is quite refreshing. And the tension is like really high, I feel.
It's palpable.
Yes.
I think that's the thing that a lot of people right after watching it, they like, that's probably what got them the most is the constant build up to what's going to go wrong.
Also, if you are like a horror vet, you might not find it as scary
as what
per se.
Hype is, yeah.
But for someone like me, constantly being on edge is fucking unnerving. And I really didn't enjoy that.
And you and I had distinctly
which means it's
different,
a good movie.
Yes. But you and I also had distinctly different viewing experiences because this film has come out very late in South Africa. So it's actually available on streaming as well. With the VPN and stuff, you can find it.
Yeah.
But
this podcast
now
brought to you by ExpressVPN. No, it's not.
Not yet. But then you saw it at the cinema.
Yeah.
So I watched at home alone. You saw it at the cinema.
Just.
And I think this film benefits greatly from a cinematic viewing. Actually, like having people there with you, kind of feeling like that group
Look,
anxiety.
Also the sound was pretty good in terms of like creaking and things and whatever. And there was no jump scares for jump scares sake.
I was going to say, the directors to me, and we'll chat about them a bit more, but they didn't do that like...
yeah,
like
for cuck.
It's when
the
jump
shit went down,
happened.
It went down. Yeah,
but even the initial introduction where we do the first thing with the hand and that, the pans, and it's like
the opening of this movie is amazing. Yeah. It's honestly one of the best openings for a horror movie that I've seen in a long time.
Kind of reminded me of It Follows.
Yes.
Because you don't know what's
going what's
on, clapping. But there's the hectic shit that's going down.
It's really cool. That sets the scene, and then we get into the story. The performances from everyone, especially for like first-time actors. There's some vets. The Zoe Tarakis, I think, has been in stuff. in Australia?
I think that the Australian actors have been in things.
But some of them are new to the scene. I don't know. Anyway, I think generally really, really, really good. They really do capture young people in this film in a weird way because of, we'll get into it probably in spoilers, but the way they use the hand and stuff, man, and how they hang out and things like that. It's like, okay, you actually know how young people are.
It's a very interesting commentary on like the culture of young people, like what they do when they get together, why they do it, and social media and the influence of that as well. It's a movie that I think had interesting things to say without being preachy about
it. Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, it's like, no,
it felt illustrative.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when they don't know how young people talk. This is Fleek.
Slay, queen.
So yeah, I really enjoyed that. This movie cost
$4 million.
$4 million, yeah. They were financed with the support from the South Australian Film Corporation, and they received like major production investment from Screen Australia. So it was basically financed by Australia.
Australia, mate.
And $4 million, it seems more expensive.
It really does. Like, it's so well shot. Yeah. This movie, like, there's nothing that takes me out in terms of, because there's some gory scenes in here. There's just everything about it seemed like sleek and like really clean. Like, such a well shot movie.
No, it was so good.
And this is the directors. This is the like feature film debut.
They had a chance to direct an unknown film in DCEU first.
Really?
Yeah, but they declined. They wanted this to be their debut. I think that was a smart choice.
Very smart choice. Also, they've said that they are hoping to continue to shoot in Australia because they like the way films are shot there. So they're going to push to keep doing their movies there. And they have a YouTube channel that I actually want to go check out. I haven't yet.
They've got like billions of views.
Yeah, Raka Raka, where they do like independent little horror movie things there. And like in the first film, to feel like they are so developed in, like they had a very clear idea of what they wanted to do.
Oh, definitely.
It was shot really well.
Yeah.
And there's no fluff. There's no like scenes for scene's sake in this movie. Like, everything kind of adds the story.
It comes in at 1 hour 30, no?
Yeah, it's like
1:31 or something.
Or 1:40. It's not a long runtime at all.
Which is great. Love that.
you know how I feel about this.
Before spoilers, I don't think we can really get into anything like plot-wise. That's just our main character, his mother has passed away.
Yeah.
She has a weird relationship with her father. She's best friends with this
family.
Yeah, basically the whole family. She's like family to them.
Yeah.
And when they start using their hand, she starts to see things. Mm. She starts to question
the whole point of father.
Or
what the hand does is connect you to a dead person.
Yeah.
But you don't know who you're going to get with the hand. So that's kind of the premise.
Yeah, I like the mechanics of how that works also. Mm. You, like, you hold the hand, you say, talk to me, and then the
apparition appears.
And
it's there.
And then you let them take possession
of
you.
And then you say, I let you in. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Not letting anything in, man.
But it's crazy how, like, fucked up the pictures and their face go.
Yeah, I mean, the eyes, all that jazz. And the reason why they keep doing it is once it happens from the perspective of the main character, after it's done, she says, yo, that was amazing.
Yeah,
it
there's a like, euphoria that comes.
Yes, up. Like.
But is it the experience itself or because of the recognition that the group gives you afterwards?
I wasn't there, Johnny. I don't know.
You know what I mean?
No, I think it's literally how she felt.
Okay.
Because she said it's like being outside of your body watching. Yes. She like mentions
that.
That's
true. Yeah. So I think is also that element of like, because you're the one doing it, the whole group is like, yo, that's amazing. Well, you did it.
I mean, there's a novelty to it, right? Because first of all, you don't know which spirit you're going to get.
Mm.
You don't know what that spirit's going to make you do.
And you don't know what they've been through as well.
So it's like, it's weird things can happen. Mm. And that is part of it from perspective's point of view. And then you being the person that's being possessed, you getting a feeling of euphoria. So it's like payoff for both parties.
True.
So I get why they keep wanting to do it. It's like drug use, actually. Mm. They all just...
Completely.
That scene, there's a scene where they show all of them just using it.
Yeah. The second time they do it, I think, when they at Mia's best friend's house.
Yeah, so that scene only took an hour, except for like a few rigging shots and stuff. That scene only took an hour to shoot. Oh. So I think that they just like said, you having fun with this fucking hair and do whatever, yeah. and they just foam shit. And yeah. you can tell again that is how young people would act.
It,
that
it feels authentic.
100%.
Like all of that.
Yeah. I'll wear. But fuck that hand, bro. Oh. I'm not touching that shit.
Did you see in Joburg at the screening, they had the hand there?
Yeah, they, you can buy the hand of 824 now.
I'm good. Nah, I'm not fine. And then it Nogals makes you take with your weekend yeah. off of
it. Yo, man. Nita.
Yo, okay. Before we go into more spoilery
yeah.
stuff, I feel like it's obvious.
Yeah, this is a fucking lekker pot krif for me.
This is a krif keri with the tails are soft and the, it's melting your mouth meat.
Mm.
All that legs have that lekker like...
Say gom.
Oh, with bakbrood on the side.
But I will say, because there's different types of horror fans.
Mm.
There's horror fans who enjoy those like jump scares, right?
It's Conjuring vibes.
They get the, ha, and then yeah. like, ah, skrikt, oh, yeah. lol. This might not be for you.
Yes, this is actually almost more like 80s horror films for me. Like the ones that embrace the gory and the scary side of it.
Yeah, okay.
It's not as campy
yeah.
as those. Like it's not like the Nightmare on Elm Street movies got very campy.
Yeah.
But there's a similarity for me in terms of the risk
yeah.
with what you're doing and the violent fallout of what you do. And this film embraces that. Like when shit goes wrong, it goes wrong.
Wrong, yeah. I think also the sound design is exceptional. Yeah. Like those hits were so fucking hard. Yeah. But yeah, if you're out of it, I don't think you'll find it as scary. But yeah, it's damn. A good horror film.
Yeah. Someone's going to have to let Mia in.
Yeah. Mia dies. Our main character dies. She dies hard in the paint.
Yeah.
Yo. So.
Yo, this is as least happy ending as so you the, could possibly hope
for. Yeah. The ghosts convince her that they need to kill. What's her friend's name?
Her best friend.
Yeah.
What's the family's name?
Yeah, she was. Yeah, it's been a while.
Been a while, girl. So Riley is the little brother.
Yeah.
Right? That's and Mia and Riley are super close.
Yeah.
Jade is Riley's older sister who's Mia's best friend.
Okay.
And then Miranda Otto plays the mother, single mother, it looks like, who's also very
she
close.
She is funny,
with,
yeah.
With like form. Mia's
she's off. Really good.
And Hayley and Zoe Tarakis' character, Hayley, and then Chris Alosio's character, Joss, they are the ones who had the hand.
Yeah.
Who were like the
yeah.
kind of the weird.
I also like
parties.
That this hand has just been passed yeah. around. Like
with like basic instructions.
Yeah.
Don't let it go longer than a minute or 90 seconds.
90 seconds. Don't do that. And then they just like, yeah, and have fun. And, yeah. and then it's like, wow.
Let's go.
When Mia is possessed, she points out, oh, they like you. And she points to Riley.
Yes.
And it's like, yo, okay. Yo. You don't necessarily know why, but it's like they're after that lighty. Mm. And then he goes and has a turn and he's then possessed.
And his turn, his sister didn't want him to do it.
Yeah.
His sister was like, no, I don't want you to get hurt or any shit like that.
But they possess him, right?
Yeah.
And then they try to kill him because it seems like they want certain souls.
Also, Riley goes for longer than the time.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes a bit over the recommended time, which we don't actually know if that's the real reason or not. It's just what we've been given.
Yeah.
But he goes longer because... They start,
but they say, if you go longer than
like
90,
the
then they can stay
get him out of the hand.
Mm.
That's kind of like what drives the story is that Riley then suffers effects long after.
Yeah, but and that scene where he goes longer than 90 seconds and then he.
Yes! And most importantly, which relates to Mia's motivations, is that when Riley sees a spirit, it's Mia's mother.
Yeah.
He thinks it's Mia's mother.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. So the ghost seems ever ability to manipulate.
Yeah, they can lie.
Yeah, so he tries to kill himself like first chucks.
Yeah.
Fucking. Yes, woo. That scene is heavy. The eyeball man.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I forgot about that. I think I had pleasantly put that out of my mind. Nice. And now it's back.
And then he goes to the hospital whenever, then he tries to kill himself again. So you get the feel that the demons want him to kill himself so that they can get his soul.
And then that also ostracizes Mia from this family that's essentially her support base. Because Jade's pissed with her. The mother is pissed with her as well because she's like, you must have been on drugs. Why did you do this? Because the parents don't get what's going on.
Yeah.
That's another thing that kind of ties to the old school horror where the parents are so disconnected in that sense from what's actually causing the shit. They just can't figure it out. So they blame it on drugs.
Must be drugs.
Yeah.
Crack.
Fucking crack is whack.
Crack epidemic. Then Mia gets manipulated by the ghost. And then her thing is she has to kill the brother.
Yes.
And she starts to lose it and almost in a way becomes possessed herself.
Because they tell her like he's suffering and she's trying to get him.
And it manipulates her so much that she kills her father. Or she stabs her father.
Yeah. We assume it looked like he's going to die.
Yeah, but in the end he was back.
No,
he was.
In the hospital.
Yes.
I thought that was part of her being dead.
Yeah, so she could see what was happening.
Oh.
Because Riley recovers, her father goes to visit, so she was experiencing time differently.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Yeah,
I
thought that's normal for you.
You know?
No.
I thought when she was seeing him that's reflective of like both in the afterlife. At that
point. She couldn't talk.
But your thing makes sense.
Her father did survive. Yes. But when she wheels Riley, because she kidnaps him from the hospital, she's about to wheel him into the traffic and then she lets go.
Mm.
And then we cut to the POV of people in a car and then she eats the car and stuff.
Yes.
But do you think she jumped?
Mm.
She did not.
Was she pushed?
She was pushed.
By Jade.
Yes.
Woo! Woo!
It's a blink and you fucking miss it.
Oh, because Jade comes to
but again, TikTok found it.
Mm.
When it's the POV from the people inside the car, on the left side, you can see Jade running.
Yeah.
And they're running towards her and it looks like she goes like that.
I did see Jade, but I was... To me, it was Jade's getting Riley.
No,
she stops Riley from going in.
Smited her in there.
Ah, she had a point.
Yeah, 100%.
Kind of necessary. Look, we don't have a lot of time.
But we're actually out of time.
I know. But Mia's character's arc is so interesting because it's reflective of someone dealing with trauma.
It's trauma.
Dealing with...
It's drugs.
Like loneliness, drugs, all of that stuff.
And it's all that thing of like, oh, I'm fine. No, it's fine. Until she sees her mother and she's like, oh, shit.
And she's...
It brings up all that shit.
So her motivations... We haven't been able to go into it in detail, but it's so, so nuanced why she does what she does. And it's so sad. It's fucking heartbreaking.
No, it's sad.
To see her character go through that entire, all of that, and then she is dead.
What I also like, you know, when horror movies end and then it's like, oh, but the evil's still out there. Mm. This makes sense. Because of the way they got the hand and the way it's passed on, it's like it makes sense. The hand, if you don't destroy it, it's going to keep doing its thing.
This is like Jumanji, but for horror.
Yeah.
Basically, that hand's going to find a way.
Yeah, well, A24 already greenlit the sequel.
Bruh, it made 80 million on a 4 million budget.
And I don't think they should give them much more money.
No.
They should keep it small.
It's similar to what happened with like any good franchise, any good horror series that becomes a franchise because of the first movie.
They did shoot a prequel that is made entirely of cell phone footage.
That does,
But A24 doesn't want to release that. They want an actual sequel. There's a scene.
And does that end with the opening scene with the knife to head? Why didn't you watch it?
Because it's not released.
It's a movie.
I said they filmed it. They didn't release it though.
They sent it to you.
So that there's a scene where they go to hell.
Oh, when she sees Riley.
Yeah,
when Riley's all.
She tries to find him and there's a ghost in front of her and then she tells the ghost to let her in.
Yes.
And then she sees a glimpse of Al.
Ah.
So in that scene, there's a lot of things to catch.
I don't want to watch it again right now to go and try.
So there's a scene where this woman is taking a bite out of a baby. Did you see that?
No. No, I didn't.
So apparently they cut things from that scene. That scene was supposed to be longer and more fucking hectic. Quote, The depravity of hell, and it was really intense, brutal, messed up sequence that felt like, okay, we need to peel this back. Even our producer said, you won't get it past the censors, and we're going to get an NC-17 rating.
Now, do you know what that reminds me?
I'm not done, though.
Oh.
He said it was really heavy, and it went for a while, and it was like, ooh, we needed to cut down and just give a small glimpse, but we hid some frames in the sequence. So if you are quick enough with the pause button, you can catch some really fucked up shit. Like that image of the woman taking a bite of the baby, no one else saw. I saw it, though. Which is kind of weird. And then they also said that initially the very first possession went too far. They don't want to give away what actually happens, but they said the reason they cut it the way they did is because they wanted the viewer not to wonder why they would ever use the hand again.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so they did go too far for the position. So it's like, oh, these guys have such good ideas. And it's the restraint.
I was gonna say they're not precious about what they've shot.
Yeah.
What you just described reminds me of Event Horizon.
Oh,
and
wow,
that scene where Sam Neill, where Lawrence Fishburne gets shown all by Sam Neill.
Yeah.
That kept me up for nights. I told you, like, that type of stuff, like imagery like that, fucks me up.
No,
and that was like, that's why I don't want to go back.
No, you should go back. Nah, go, let's watch it again.
I'm good.
Just that scene. they're also excited for people to like start looking at the hand and seeing what's written on there. And
because
there's Easter eggs in there as
I
well.
I did try when I watched. I was like, this looks like it's important stuff here.
She's saying is we must watch it again.
Yeah, but with the sound off.
Pitch black. Wait till it's load shedding and just the TV is on, then you watch it.
Nah. Podcast. Watch it. Dadelijk. Are there any shout outs?
People have joined us for screenings. We've been to a few since we last recorded. Man, so shout out to everyone. Also, yo guys, just listen to what we say in the when we're giving away tickets. We've been getting some weird requests.
Yeah, it's strange. It's people are requesting movies that happened weeks ago.
Movies that happened weeks ago. Can we go on a different day in the week?
Yeah.
Give us tickets for Joburg.
We are not in Joburg. We do not handle Joburg's things. You need to phone your local municipality.
Ask them for tickets. Alternatively, go to the cinema in Joburg and say you're with the brass.
Yeah, just say.
We are inside.
My brass is on the list.
So shout out to everyone who's been joining us for screenings. We'll hopefully be going to a few more. Keep your eyes peeled on the gram. That's where we normally drop these things.
Oh, yeah. If someone wanted to find us, Jody, how would they find us?
You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Bicycle Brasser Podcast. And you can write to us, bicyclebrasser@gmail.com.
Salute. Remember, stay safe, everyone, and be good for Knox
and Charlie.